Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody.
Wake up, Hollywood.
Play it. Go ahead and play your dumb sound effect.
No.
Your stupid rooster. There you go.
Hey,
there it is.
Hey, you know what?
There's your dumb rooster.
You know, it's pretty cool that you welcome the rooster.
Well, yeah.
That's a big improvement.
After 12 weeks of it, I finally have to give in and accept the rooster.
So you're saying the cock won, basically.
Yeah.
Well, it was a cockfight, and you lost.
You love cock so much that it's...
So how was your week, man?
My week was... I don't know, I'm kind of in a daze right now, so I don't really... We talked about this before when we were walking up, like, we're both on, like, no sleep.
That should be an interesting show.
So I try to remember 2 hours ago. Like, I can't remember two... Like,
so no naps? No power naps?
No power naps. I've been fighting a sinus infection.
Oh, that's fun.
So that's been going on.
That sounds like Disneyland, man.
Went to Legoland.
Oh, how was Legoland?
It's fun. I've been there like 12 times.
We have like, you have a season pass. Yeah. They're like, they know you by first name.
Yeah,
at this
they do.
Point.
They're like, oh, you guys are back. Yeah.
Do you ever get tired of it? Is it one of those parks that you're like,
no, because you watch your kid have fun, so that never gets old.
Does he go on the same rides?
No, yeah, kind of go on the same rides.
Did you reward him for anything? Did you do anything good at kindergarten? Has he gotten any gold stars or anything?
Yeah, he gets rewarded. The teacher rewards him. They have their whole thing today. Today he got in trouble because he was trying to kiss a girl.
Oh, nice work, yeah. Dude. Working it in early.
And, she was thwarting his advances.
That must have made you a little proud. So,
I was just kind of laughing. I'm like, what the hell? Why? Because the teacher's kind of telling me, like, yeah, he was trying to kiss a girl. I'm like, what? Why? How does he know about that?
Is he watching some late night movies with
Daddy? I guess so. I guess he's waking up in the middle of the night and putting on the Spice Channel or something. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, where does he get that from?
I don't know. I have no idea.
And getting shut down early, but still trying. I love it.
And then I confronted him about it. I was like, the teacher said you were, you know, kissing girls, and they don't like that. And, you know, you're not supposed to kiss people in school. And she was like, well, she kissed me first yesterday. I'm like, okay, are you lying? Or is this girl like,
You called her a slut. Just go ahead
kinda,
and say it.
Kinda.
Did you say that to
the
teacher?
It's a little early.
Like, why is this girl being slutty
kindergarten,
with my son?
Kindergarten's a little early to be throwing it around like that.
Well, I got married in kindergarten, so I disagree. Mm-hmm. I did. I remember it clearly. It was a...
Well, you're Indian, so you were promised to somebody, right?
it was arranged
it was
way
arranged,
before I was
arranged
born.
Marriage.
I'd have my first marriage at kindergarten, and then it was all downhill from there. Well, have you seen the girl? Is she a looker?
I don't know. And I wouldn't tell you that if she was, because I don't want to get arrested.
I'm just kidding. No, that's awesome. That's kind of fun.
It was funny.
It had to make you giggle.
It was funny. It was funny. He got really embarrassed, so it was kind of funny.
What did he say?
He just got like that look on his face like, I don't know how to respond to what you're asking me.
That's killer, man. Well, dude, I just had a crazy whirlwind of a week. I just got back from New York, literally.
Again? Well, were you just in New York like a month ago?
No. Was I? No.
Or was that me? I was in New York.
You were in New
York.
That's what it was. You were in for like a day, right?
I like less than it. Like,
dude, I don't know
hours,
how you did
hours.
That because I was exhausted.
It sucked.
That had to suck some serious ass. I went in on Saturday and I barely was able to stay awake. I went to my friend's gig, which was great. And then Sunday, my music video got into a film festival, so I got to see all the videos that were there. And
how'd you guys finish?
It was awesome. There were no like awards, but they just showcased like, and there were awards. I mean, not awards. There were videos from. There were 18 videos total, and there were videos from Korea, Spain, Canada, Germany, Finland, Norway.
Did you just take a trophy in there and walk around like, hey, did you guys know I won?
I should have.
And like, oh, we didn't know.
Dude,
mine won. Anyone else getting pissed?
I didn't do that. I was thinking about it, though.
You should have.
You know what's cool, though? Later that night, I saw a former classmate of mine from SC. He's playing Smokey Robinson in the Motown musical. So I got to watch him, and he was badass. He was nominated for a Tony last year. Charles Brown, big shout out to you.
Does he do a good Smokey?
He does an amazing Smokey. I mean, he had his speaking voice down. Oh, wow. That's what tripped me out. I was like, oh my God. And then he sang the shit out of the songs. And he brought me backstage. I got to meet the whole cast. And it's an amazing cast. Like, there's a Marvin. There's a Stevie Wonder.
Wow.
There's a little MJ that sounds like really? Little MJ. Dude, that show blew me away. And it actually taught me, like, I know a lot about Motown, but it actually taught me so much about the background of that show that I didn't know. I didn't know. Did you know Berry Gordy and Diana Ross were, like, lovers?
No, I just assumed everybody was a lover with Diana Ross.
What, do you think she's a slut?
Well, she got around. She got around. She loved everybody.
But there was a lot of things like that. Like, I didn't know about the dynamic. I didn't know how the name came about. Like, a lot of things like that.
How did Motown come about?
Well, Motortown.
Okay.
Like Detroit, you know? So they wanted to make it shorter, so Motown. But I didn't know that. I was just like, dude, I never would have put that together. And then...
Never would have put that together?
Well, like, I think I eventually
would. I put together in like 2 seconds as soon as you said Detroit. Oh, Motortown. Got it.
But, I mean, you know, you didn't know that when you thought of Motown, right?
Well, no, because I thought I had something more musical involved.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
But Motortown.
You said you thought that was...
as soon as you said Detroit, I'm like, oh, Motor City.
You thought that was Mo to it? I love giving bad jokes to you because you're just like...
God damn it!
Seriously, Nikki, I'm the comedian on the show.
God damn it!
So it was awesome. And then the next night, I actually played 3 shows last night. 6 o'clock.
Last night?
Yeah.
Oh, so you just got back today?
Yeah.
Ugh.
6 p.m., 8 p.m., 1 a.m.
Ew.
That was brutal. It was brutal.
Have a longer like set.
First one was half an hour. Second one was 50 minutes. Last one was 50 minutes.
Mm.
Last
full,
one we
full
played.
Full band or did you do acoustic?
No, it was my harmonica player lives out there. So I stayed with him. And then...
you need to find a closer harmonica player.
Dude, he's awesome.
Does he Skype in?
No, he doesn't. But it was so funny because I was throwing tunes at him that he hadn't heard arrangements of or any of it. And he was just like, let's do it, man. Let's just play. So it was fun. It was just a whirlwind. I had no time for anything else.
Where'd
like,
you play?
I played at a place called, I got to remember all the names, Much More's in Brooklyn. Then I played at a place called the Path Cafe in, where is that, Manhattan? And then I played another place called Goodbye Blue Monday.
Damn.
Pretty crazy venues.
So you just went there for the film festival and you just got picked up some gigs?
Picked up some gigs. But usually I play like Rockwood Music Hall, some other places. Most humbling thing was last time I was there, I played the Apollo Theater.
Yeah.
So, like, I played that in front of, like, 1,400 people, and then I'm, like, playing a coffee house. I'm like, New York, man, humble pie, you know? But it was awesome. And CMJ was just starting, so all the venues I usually play were completely booked. They're like, dude, I can fit you in for, like, 20 minutes here. I'm like, nah, I'll just find a fucking venue. So I just hustled and got 3 gigs in one day. Wow. The first one I got was at 1 a.m. I was like, okay, my only show right now is at 1 a.m. on a Monday night. Great. And then I got the other two, and I was like, okay, so this worked.
Wow. Yeah.
But it was fun.
That's
but
cool.
Flew back today and came back for the show. Sounds got a great fun. Guest tonight.
Yeah, we do.
I'm very excited. Are you excited?
I'm as excited as I can be right now.
You got all dressed up, but you didn't get a haircut.
I didn't.
You look ashamed.
I'm getting a haircut Thursday.
Thursday? What time? I'm going to call
3 o'clock.
You. 3 o'clock. That's the time?
Yeah.
I'm going to call you and make sure you're getting it done. I want to know that you're a man of your word.
I'll bring you the clippings.
No, don't do that.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy.
I'm already doing it.
I don't think you
I'm
should.
I'm already doing it.
I don't think so.
I'm going to mail them to
that
you.
That sucks. That sounds really bad.
Yeah, I'm going to mail them to you.
So what do you have going on this week? What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Because I'm staying in town until
literally
the end of the holidays.
I don't have anything until, like I told you, I don't have anything on the books until November 3rd, Last Comic Standing.
Give us more details.
I just did.
Well, you gave us November 3rd. We don't know where it is.
John Lovitz Comedy
Club. There we go. And
City
it's at,
Walk.
There you go.
I'm assuming 8 o'clock. I've been given no details. I have no idea.
Okay, so we're just going to say you may be going on at 8
p.m.
I
may. It may
be 11:30. But I'll be there.
Something
I gave
like
you my
that.
Word. I'll be there.
All right.
I'm excited to see you perform. I want you to be the Last Comic Standing.
3 minutes of glory.
Just tell them to put you at the very end, and then you literally will be the Last Comic Standing.
See, stuff like that's going to get me booted right off the show.
So what do you do? Like you go in and you have to do like your best material and it's like an audition?
Just do 3 minutes.
3 minutes? God, that's tough.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And you never get nervous at all?
For 3 minutes? No.
That's awesome.
I don't get nervous anymore.
Oh, I love that feeling right before.
I get excited. I want to go on.
I didn't get nervous to play the Path Cafe or anything like that, but to do something like that for 3 minutes where it's like, do your best shit, 3 minutes, go. That's a little nerve-wracking.
No, that's the best. That's the fun stuff because it's like, you have to throw out your A stuff, so it's like you're like pumped to do that. It's like there's no screw around time.
Does John Lovitz like announce everybody?
No, I don't think so.
I played a show there and he was there. He's kind of a weird dude.
Yeah.
But he sounds exactly like he always does in his
movies. Like John Lovitz.
Yeah, like I always thought that he would have like a voice for, you know, like some guys.
No,
like,
he have a voice. He is what then, you see.
Yeah, he is exactly.
He is exactly what you see. For good or for worse.
Well, what else you got going on? You traveling?
No, not right now.
You figured out your Halloween costume for this year?
Well, my kid's the Hulk.
It's definite.
It's definitely the
he
Hulk.
He bought it. You got it.
Yeah, it's lock style. It's. I mean, I tried to get him to be. He wanted to be a chimney sweep.
I remember that Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins chimney sweep, and I was going to be a chimney sweep too, and I was excited about it.
And are you going to do Big Hulk, and he's going to be Little Hulk?
No, there's no Big Hulk, Little Hulk.
So what are you going to do? You're just going to be?
I don't think I'm going to be anything. I don't know.
Dude, you got to be something.
I don't. Last year I was a Jedi. Last year I was a Jedi, and he was a Padawan last year, and that worked out well.
Well, you got to do something. You got to do something.
I'll figure something.
Just don't be the parent that doesn't dress up, dude.
I'll figure something out.
Maybe just be a wrestler.
Maybe I'll be a wrestler. I don't know what I'm going
to do. Maybe.
I have no idea.
Oh, I think our guest just made it to the show. We have an amazing singer-songwriter, guitar extraordinaire, musician from Los Angeles and New York, apparently. Zane Carney, say hello.
Hello. Man, your guy's doorbell really works.
See, yeah. I wasn't bullshitting. Eddie wants to scrap it, but you know what? It's worked.
Wait, how's it work?
Well, actually, our first guest that was on this show just accidentally pushed it, and I'm like, that's a great way to introduce
How does it work? If he was outside the door, we didn't know he was there, then yes. A doorbell would be good.
They don't know.
You guys happen to be here. This is awesome.
That's
I'm glad
right.
You're in tonight.
We're so happy that you're able to make it, man.
Thank you.
So let's just jump right in. Tell us how you got into music. Tell us how you started playing guitar. Tell us your story. We want to know the dirty details.
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, I grew up in a musical family. I was born in New York City. And my dad was a composer for jingles, like commercials.
Oh, awesome.
And all that stuff.
Any famous ones he did?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Anything goes with Play-Doh.
Oh, wow. That's a classic.
It's a classic. So, yeah, he was a writer. My mom went to CCM for musical theater. So music was in the family, but I did not know what I wanted to be. I think the closest assimilation I had for a vocation when I was five was I either wanted to be a Chinese doctor with no hair on his arms or a food store.
Dream big.
No, but even by the time I was 10, my brother was saying to me, hey, you got to figure out what you want to do. But basically, I don't know if I'd ever mentioned
your brother was pressuring you at 10 years old figure out what you wanted to do.
You gotta have my brother in one of these days. You'll get to know him. But basically, when I was a kid, I was in a sitcom on CBS called Dave's World. So it's a 4-year sitcom. And we flew out to LA when I was 8 years old. And when the show ended, I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. I had picked up guitar when I was 10 for fun. And then I realized.
That's early.
It was
That's
early.
Really early. That's
10
amazing.
Was old. That was based on the conversation
with my
brother. Well, he was being
hounded by his brother to do something.
Do something.
Life.
You're a failure.
Do something with your life.
Exactly.
You're 10.
Exactly. So, for him, I mean, he wanted to be a musician. He knew it from the age, a young age, 6, 7 years old. For me, I didn't know. So I picked up the guitar at 10. And by the time I was 14, I had gotten heavy into jazz, like Wes Montgomery. And
oh, man, he's one of my favorites.
He's
man.
My favorite musician of all time. Yeah, he really impacted me deeply. And
he started when he was 18, man.
Yeah, and he God, it sucks that he died in 1967. But yeah, I mean, I have every recording he ever made that I've been able to find, bootleg or otherwise. So I have like 500 or so. But yeah, I'm obsessed with him. So yeah, that started some passion. I still didn't know what I wanted to do. And then when I turned 18, I went to USC, Studio Jazz Guitar
That's right.
Program.
That's right. Fight on, Eddie.
Fight on, fight baby. On.
That's right, buddy.
Go that school.
You went to Virginia Tech, whatever.
Oh,
that
that's
yeah.
cool. And gobble, Michael
gobble.
Vick up in that joint.
Gobble, gobble.
But basically, when I was 18, I thought, I'll go back into acting maybe. This would be fun. And then this phone call came from David Foster, this producer.
Oh, wow.
He said, hey.
It's a different Dave from Dave's World. It's not
different
the same.
Dave.
Not the same Dave.
Yeah.
Another world altogether.
I love Dave's. It's a questionable statement. But basically, we had a conversation, and he had originally asked me to play with Michael Bublé when I was in high school, but things did not work out, and then he said, I'll call you again. So he called me for this girl, Renee Olmsted, and I went on tour, and it just got bit by the bug of wanting to do this as a career. And then that kind of just
– That's amazing. Steamrolled. 18 years old? You must have been like high school?
I was in high school. Yeah, he came to our high school to give a lecture, and then he ended up asking a few students to play for him, and a bunch of my friends shouted my name as a joke, and then he said, well, come up and play. And so, yeah, I played for David Foster and
heckling friends, they helped you get a gig.
Jerks. I know, it helped. It actually worked. But, so music's been a part of my life since I was a kid, you know, a passion of mine since I was 14 with jazz, and then a real career since I was about 19, and now I'm 29. So, Yeah, it's been a good run.
So you went to right after school, after the tour, did you go to USC? Like, how was
so after the tour, I took a leave of absence. I'm still technically on that. It's been 10 years, though.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I took a leave of absence. Then I started playing with Jesse McCartney.
Okay.
Then that eventually I left Jesse's band to start a band with my brother called Carney. And we got signed to Interscope Records. And we went on tour and we opened up for like eventually U2 actually. We opened for
insane.
It was crazy. It was insane. We did a bunch of stuff, but then our band got picked to play in this musical on Broadway, Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark.
I remember that.
Yeah, so once we got picked for that, the band actually eventually disbanded. And then my brother started working on a TV show called Penny Dreadful.
And your brother was Spider-Man.
He was Spider-Man in the show, and I played lead guitar in the pit and worked with Bono and Edge on like the Carney trio, the three of us in the band, other than my brother, we worked with Bono and Edge on.
That must have been insane, man.
It was ridiculous, dude.
You must have been like, what?
Yeah. Didn't the Spider-Mans get hurt?
Some did, yeah, and one of them actually moved out to L.A. Yeah, it's thank God.
Was brother one of the ones that got hurt?
Reeve was not. No, he essentially played the role of Peter Parker. Which was, you know,
he was more of the acting.
Yeah, he did dress up as Spider-Man. I mean, the reveal of the show was when he comes on stage and you're assuming it's just another stunt Spider-Man, but he pulls off his mask and then flies over the audience. So it feels like he was the Spider-Man the whole time. Yeah, wow. But he wasn't. Yeah.
Just give away the whole show
Give away the whole show, which is now closed. So I'm allowed to.
There you go. There you go.
Say anything about the show.
And Julie Taymor was one of the people that
Was directed. And she actually came to see a Carney show with my brother and myself playing. And so that's how the whole train got started of us eventually being discovered by U2 and then eventually playing in Spider-Man.
That's amazing.
It is crazy.
Do you know Julie Taymor, Eddie?
I do not.
She did Lion King. She did Across the Universe.
Okay.
Really a creative mind. Just an amazing, you know.
And those are some of her mainstream pieces, which still they're so unique compared to other mainstream pieces. But her like avant-garde stuff is like mind-bending. She's a real genius. It was an honor to work with her. Yeah, it was crazy.
That's crazy. So she just stumbled into a Carney show.
Friend of ours was in Across the Universe. TV Carpio, who played Prudence in the movie.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Is that the Asian girl?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So she said, "Hey, Julie, come see my friend's band. Reeve and I, you know, Reeve and Zane and I are all friends. Come see them play." And then she came to our show. And then, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I'm so lucky to be making a living playing music.
That's really what it's about, right?
Really unbelievable. The crazy thing, too, was I'm sure this is going to come up eventually, but during Spider-Man, I was just in the pit for 2 years, you know, just kind of waiting for Carney to start up again, and out of nowhere getting that phone call from John Mayer.
Like,
what the heck is
happening? Tell me what that was like.
Yeah, it was a surprise. I mean, I woke up to an email from his tour manager just saying, want to talk to you about work. And then within a 10-hour period, I was on the phone with John talking about what the vision was, and then flew to LA a couple weeks later. And
you're like, "Can I get back to you?"
Get back to you. The funny thing is, though, actually, Carney had just broken up 3 months earlier, and I was scrambling to figure out what to do as an artist because I knew that as much as I loved playing other people's works and sight reading and all those tools that I've liked to develop and enjoyed developing, I just knew there was a piece of me missing if I wasn't doing what I did in Carney, which is writing. I mean, I didn't write much of the songs as far as publishing would be concerned, but arranging, creative, giving my own guitar parts.
Yeah, it's like you're having your own voice.
Yeah. So I realized I either need to find another awesome singer to sing songs for me that I can write and or just come up with guitar parts over, or I have to write my own songs and sing them. And after a couple months of not really finding anyone that I meshed with, because Carney, our music was so specific, and I dare not use the word unique, but it was very specific to what our passions are.
I remember seeing you guys at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was it 2008 that you guys
played?
Yeah,
that's right.
So, Eddie, we both played Bonnaroo. I think you guys played Saturday, we played Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I remember you guys did some killer original stuff. I remember you did a killer version of She's So Heavy and some other tunes.
Thank
I was
you.
Like, dude, you guys were slamming. And then I actually saw Scott, we have some mutual friends, brought us to your 98.7 radio spot where you did Testify and some other
stuff.
Oh,
the back, that's right.
Yeah, that was before I think you went to New York, wasn't that? Or was that, in between?
That was before. Yeah, New York, we moved in 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, that's...
But all those guys you guys grew up with, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The drummer in Carney I've known since I was 8, and the bass player since I was 10. In fact, when I was on that sitcom, Dave's World, as a kid, we had a band called the Bluesberries, and it was my final year of my show. I was not very good. I was 12 years old.
It's a good name.
It's a good band name. It was just blues songs that my brother sang lead vocals on, and I wasn't even the lead guitar player. It took me a while to even become a guitar equal to my brother because he was 2 years older and just an amazing musician. Consequently, my brother toured with Johnny Lang. So a lot of guitar playing in our family.
But, that's awesome.
It's pretty wild. But so I'm just... It's funny. I'm just hoping to do this solo thing now. You know, even John Mayer's given me kind of his blessing and support as a solo artist. So I'm trying to do what you know, other singers.
How did that conversation come about? You're like, hey John, yeah. I love being in your band, but
I gotta do my own thing.
I kind of want to do my own shit.
He did the track listing for my EP that we're
going to. Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I brought it into his dressing room and. What do you think? And he had a very logical reason for why the song should go in this order. So I said, I'll try.
What was his reasoning?
Well, the first three songs in this record, the first one's called You're Not the One, the second one's called Talk to Me Baby, and the third one's called Driving in Circles. And I knew already that Talk to Me Baby on my YouTube page had been generating like 10 times more views than any other song. I didn't know why. So I said, shouldn't that go first? He said, here's the deal. If you're going to give this to record labels and managers, you're going to want to start the record off with You're Not the One, because that starts with guitar, sort of like a sexy rock and roll type riff. He's like, he had all these reasons for why that's a good thing right now in the industry. Just put that out there. And then the second song, you'll let them know that you can do melodies. And then the third song, you'll let them know that you're producible, because there's a lot of production on the third song.
Right.
So there's a whole logic to it that
I was like, dude, that's like, actually brilliant.
This is why you are where you are at. Yeah. But yeah, so I'm just, you know, I'm grateful to have support of people that I admire and I'm inspired by. And my hope and dream is that it translates into you know, some sort of career, so I can do just the solo music as opposed to hired gun work.
Well, you're doing it. I mean, that's kind amazing. I think part of being a musician, it's like you learn you wear different hats. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even if that's like your thing, you totally. Still are going to be doing other things.
Totally.
When you were writing the songs, did you write them in New York? Did you write them here? Yeah. Was it kind of like a joint?
I wrote them all. So there's a song called My Love for You, which I actually play first. That's the first song I ever wrote, and that was about 2.5 years ago. I don't know. Yeah, 2.5 years ago. Wow. So yeah, the first full song I wrote with lyrics, melody, I co-wrote it a little bit of it with a friend of mine, Diane Birch, who's an amazing singer-songwriter in New York. But that just gave me a kick in the butt. I brought it to her. She said, "This is finished." I said, "I just help me finish it. I don't know how to finish a song." And then once I knew that that song was finished, it got nuts. I just
she gave you your legs.
Something happened. Something shifted, and I started to see. You know, I started to look at my 300 song ideas and go, "These are actually." I can compartmentalize. I can put pieces of these together. I can finish this idea. Something changed in me, and I haven't really looked back since. I would never have thought 5 years ago that I would be interested in singing or writing my own material, and now I can't imagine not doing it. So
that's all. When I was studying at USC, I was doing classical music, mm-hmm. so I was like, you know, singing other people's music the whole time. Right. And when I took a songwriting class, it was the same awakening. That's mm-hmm. what I kind of think about. It's like you find yourself, and it's like nothing. No matter what you do, it doesn't matter if you're playing the biggest gig in the world. If it's not that, it's just not going to make you feel like that's what you really. Are. You know
totally
what I mean?
No, and that's a piece of expression for me that's really important. Like if I were in any relationship, a friendship or romantic or otherwise, to have to have some sort of conversation that, you know, is about like, here's what I need from you for me to feel valuable. That's something that I could do and be happy doing. But then there's a part where I start to express my needs.
Yes.
And I realize without me writing my own songs, you know, emotionally, musically, romantically, whatever, if I'm not expressing my portion, if I'm just completing someone else's vision, I'll probably get stagnant. So I guess I wouldn't have to do it with writing songs. There might be other ways to express myself, but it felt really natural once I finished one song.
Organic. Finger paints work.
Finger paints are also great, and they have a good market value.
Very expressive.
Very expressive.
Quit heckling our guests.
I'm just saying. I've seen my son finger paint. I'm like, wow, that's very expressive.
That's great.
Stuff comes out you don't even think about.
Yeah.
So did you ask some of the guys from Carney to be on the record?
You know, I consciously...
Was it kind of like a total departure?
No, I okay, so John, the drummer in Carney, John Epcar, he's just one of my favorite drummers to play with. I actually brought him into the band. Into Carney, but I'm trying to look right now, and I don't think he's on this record. Oops. No, you know what it is? He's on a different album that I have that's not here today. Okay. But I have a guitar album called Amalgam, which I released in February of 2014 this year, and it was basically because people were discovering me as like quote unquote John Mayer's lead guitar player.
Right.
When I'm not a lead guitar. I am a lead guitar player, but he's the lead guitar player in his band.
Yeah, but you're pretty badass.
Well,
I've heard you.
But my role in his band is what he calls lead rhythm guitar. It's he doesn't want me to stay stagnant any night. Every night I'm using different guitar voicings, different rhythm, you know, approaches. But when I listen to him solo, he just wants me to be very fluid and symbiotic with him. So it's really fun for me because I'm actually improvising the whole show, but it's with rhythmic, you know,
that's
with
dope.
Chords. It's super, it's amazing. But so I figured.
And you played on Paradise Valley,
I did,
right?
Just on two songs, the first two on that. Yeah, that was an experience. Wow. So I released a guitar album this year called Amalgam because. A lot of people were discovering me that way. I had surgery on my voice and needed to take a few months off to recover anyway. So I thought, you know, I'll release this. And John Epcar from Carney is on that album.
Okay.
But he wasn't in L.A. for these songs. So these are all some other dudes, some dudes from the Revolving Band actually are on this record.
Okay,
that was a band like prior to Carney with that my brother and I had.
You're like a band whore, man.
Yeah, I've been, and I'm like,
this guy gets around.
Is that why you had your voice operated on? You had some throat problems. Got some problems with your throat.
That is great. You are good at comedy.
See, I told
see
you
3 minutes.
I just add things up. That's all I do.
That's great.
I just see the numbers and I put them together.
Great, phenomenal.
Well, let's jump into your live performance real quick. What are you going to play for us first?
Yeah, I'm going to play a song from my debut EP, Confluence. It's called My Love for You, and this is the first song I ever wrote. That song I was referring to.
Okay, cool. All
right,
let's get into it, man.
Let's capo this bad boy up. Okay. Great, so song's in the key of E for anyone who wants to play along.
The key of E.
The key of E.
Play along at home.
All right, here it goes. Move this mic a little more. Beautiful. My love for you is like the ocean, always out of view. I set a sail for true devotion. I swear my zeal was true. To see the treasure in my hand, to bathe my soul anew. Alas, this was a dream I had, 'cause lying is all. Your love for me is like a fountain where all my wishes come true. I flipped a penny for your thoughts, but you gave me all of you. I'll never leave your side, you said, a whisper changed my truth. Alas, this was a dream I had, 'cause crying is all I do. Just for you. Alas, this was a dream I had, 'cause dying is all I do.
Very nice. That was
awesome.
Man. What a high audience. Your audience loves it.
I love how the audience is changing mics and everything.
And we can just silence them. Just like, hey, that's it.
Gosh, get him to stop.
Dude, that was a really beautiful song.
Thank
man.
You so
just
much.
Super good writing, man. That's what it's about. Mm. Good melodies, good writing, good words. Thanks, that's man. The shit.
Yes, where's that?
You got my approval.
Yeah.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah, check out this other song I wrote. Go drink alcohol at the bar and dance a lot, and life only lasts for tonight.
You got to write some jingles too now. Just be like,
jingles.
It's in my blood, man.
It's my blood. And it goes to play though. I don't know. I'm just gonna change the
melody. So, what does your brother think about your music? Is he still hounding you? You're like,
yeah.
He's like, you know, you've done well.
You've done well, kid. Yeah, exactly. I mean, our music's very different. The music in Carney was very ethereal and cinematic and a lot of bizarre chord changes. My brother's a real musical genius. I mean, legitimate musical genius.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. And my songwriting for right now revolves around a slight more folk and pop tilt, slightly more.
He's not hounding you like, oh, you're doing 1-4-5? Oh, yeah?
Yeah, no.
That's cool.
Yeah, congrats. Well, interesting.
What's 1-4-5?
Yeah.
Just chord progressions.
Yeah. I don't know these things.
No. I didn't say it like condescending. I was just saying
chord progression. What is a chord progression? I don't know.
Yeah. That's a good question,
actually. Don't hug me. Don't fake hug me over the table.
Do not. But no, I mean, I'm starting to write new songs. I would play a song that's not on one of these recordings, but I figured since listeners might want to buy the music, I should probably play what's on here. But the past 7 or 8 songs I've written are leaning more towards the Carney tilt. It's just in my blood. I can't.
Dude, you can't escape chords. It's like one of the things. I have a new song. Actually, you know?
I have a new song that's not on a recording, but I'm playing it at my residency at Hotel Cafe, and the melody is very much like what Carney would do. It's very wild, sort of. Lately, when I close my eyes to pray, I can't find the words to say. I'm speechless, but questioning delight and wondering why. Am I so blind? Like, just, you know.
Dude, that's awesome. Very Beatles down. Influenced. I know, and you're a big Beatles guy. I can tell
by
your writing.
You know what's funny is my brother's a huge Beatles guy. My whole thing, I intuited and osmosisly. That's not an active adverb. Sorry, let me redo that. By osmosis.
And he's like, oh, it sounded good to me. That's passable.
Osmosically. No, by osmosis, yeah. I tapped into some stuff my brother got into. But really for me, it was purely just Wes Montgomery, some Django Reinhardt towards the end of high school. And I just thankfully listened to enough rock and roll after college, you know, by my brother putting it on, that I kind of started to gather how to write songs that weren't just like weird freaking bizarro. But I just love melodies. I also played the oboe when I was in high school and junior high.
Got to bring that back, man.
Bring that back, dude.
You're a one-man band.
Bring that rock oboe out. Actually, so I'm doing this residency every Monday, potentially till the end of the year, but definitely till the end of November at this place, Hotel Cafe on Cahuenga in Hollywood.
That's like one of the best acoustic songwriter venues in Los Angeles.
It's really special. It is. And a lot of great artists have started there. It's a really special room. But I did a run in August just as a temporary, just to see what would happen. I was on a break of John Mayer tours. And it was amazing that people came out every week to the amount they did. So Hotel Cafe asked me to do like a 2 to potentially 3 month residency. And so each week I'm having special guests. And I'm thinking about playing oboe at one as a joke.
Dude, that'd be
but
awesome.
I don't own one, so I got to borrow one and like make my own reed again, all that junk. But yeah, playing the oboe is the reason I can sight read on guitar. I mean, I'm really grateful that dumb instrument got given to me and forced upon me in junior high.
You're like, damn it. Dang it. But I'm just so good at it.
Yeah, I'm really bad at oboe. I should have brought that here.
You're going to be an oboe hobo?
I'll be an oboe hobo. Yeah, be a wino oboe hobo. It'd be great.
Dude, you should totally incorporate. I mean, there's reasons like instruments come into your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I felt that way about piano. And I was like, oh, man, I don't want to play classical music on piano. And then it's like, I discovered Beatles tunes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
So sick.
I can play piano. Yeah. You know, I can play Beatles songs now. So sick. It's just like one of those things that it comes into your life for a reason. But it's different when you want to be a singer-songwriter. Like,
right.
You're like, oh, I'll put the oboe
I guarantee on an album one day of mine, if I'm lucky enough to continue, you know, making a living as a solo artist, I'm going to put oboe on.
You heard it here first.
I am going to say Zane Carney on oboe on at least 2 songs.
Well, let's talk about your residency at the Hotel Cafe. So you're starting in November?
So I already started. So I started October 6th. And yeah, it's going through the end of November right now, probably till the end of December.
What time are you playing?
Extend it. I'm playing at 9 p.m. every night. It's an hour set, 60-minute set. And yeah, some really exciting guests come up. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say some of these names. But basically, you know, friends that I've played with that may or may not be recognizable. I can't really say certain things, but
no, that's all right.
But then I'm also
keep it a surprise. Keep it about you, man.
Yeah, well, and that's part of the thing too. My like team is like, oh, you should just, you know, not have guests. But it's too fun to play with friends.
That's what music's about.
It's so fun.
It's always going to be about community.
Yeah,
That's the reason why I actually left classical music, because classical music, you're singing opera and it's just about you.
Yeah,
it's not about the interaction as much.
Yeah, I can tell.
And now being in a band, it's like, man. Yeah, that's what it's about. It's
what's
the
great
shit.
Too is that, you know, this room generally, it's like a sold out room or something therein, and people are such great listeners that come to these residency shows. They're just, it's like a pin drop type situation, and so I've been able to introduce some really unique musicians. I'm not just bringing up songwriters, singers. I'm bringing up like a flute player who beatboxes and plays. This guy Catice Buckingham came up.
Oh, he's bad, dude. I know Catice.
I brought up my friend Tommy King, who did this film scoring piece, and he and I wrote together. We're like starting a scoring team. Long story. I'm bringing up a beatboxer soon. I'm bringing up a conga player. This guy Taku, who's played with Cirque du Soleil for a while. I mean, it's kind of the idea is to bring sort of my songs are in the general sort of quote unquote rock and roll pop spectrum, and to bring some sort of world influences and jazz influences to.
Dude, we have a lot
people.
In common, man.
Yeah,
honestly,
that's kind of part of it. But I will say the number one thing at this point is the lyrical message. I'm still trying to just, you know, refine my songwriting style and lyric, because I really, my whole goal is to share experiences and not just stories, but maybe things that people have taught me along the way through song. Because I think music right now, this is just my projection or my own like limited perspective. My sense of mainstream music is there is music out there that's supportive of healthy lifestyles, but a lot of it is about like selling products and advertising. Yeah. And I just would love to be like just write songs that are maybe not in that vein, that are more about
The impact, the emotion. Yes,
something that happened between my mother and me when I was three, or something that's happening between a girlfriend last
year. It's the story. Your story connects to other people's stories.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Well, let's get to your next live performance.
Sure, awesome. Yeah, so there's another song on this, this EP of mine, Confluence. It's called Doesn't Matter Where We Go, and I'm going to play that live right now. It has a little guitar solo in it.
I like it. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Improvised guitar solo, that is. All right. Baby, can you tell me your name? Lean in a little closer, take my hand. Wherefore art thou been, my Juliet? Come with me to a place you won't regret. Take you east and you'll bring me west. Forget the rest, doesn't matter where we go. Babe, as long as you're my girl. But last winter I was lonely on my own. Then spring it came and shut me all night long. I've never been summer long come true, but I won't fall into your arms, baby. Let me love you. I'll take you south and you'll be my north. My heart is yours, it doesn't matter where we go. Babe, as long as you're my girl. I said, ooh. I said, ooh. But holy, holy, holy is the love from above that's beside and inside of you, girl. Cause it's you, girl. Oh,
Very nice. That was badass.
Thank you.
Double applause.
The wave. If you guys could see the wave that's happening right now.
Seriously. It's some serious business. Dude, you sound you got a lot of, like, I don't know if anybody's ever heard, like, said this, but you got a lot of Mraz influence.
That's funny. Someone said that, actually.
But I don't hear it in your writing, but I hear it in your voice.
Interesting.
Man.
I wonder if my voice just has a similar shape to his, like, my vocal cords.
Yeah, it's cool.
Because I love him. I love his... Yeah. His style and everything, but
you got more jazz influence. It's actually more interesting writing.
Oh, really? Oh, thanks, man. I didn't really listen to him. It's funny. A lot of the people that Carney was compared to, the band that I have my brother, or my music's been compared to, it's funny because I don't actually have those people as influences, but I have the influences that those people had. So, like, people used to compare Carney to a mixture between four bands. They said it was sort of like Radiohead meets Led Zeppelin, The Beatles, and Jeff Buckley. And I was like,
those guys suck.
Now, I love all those bands. I'm just kidding. I love all those bands. But those amazing bands. I didn't get into Led Zeppelin until I was like 23. But I was into West Montgomery, who Jimmy Page was super into.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, oh, that's interesting. And then Jeff Buckley, I was into super old jazz stuff, which clearly, with him doing that Lilac Wine song, he must have loved old jazz.
Oh, yeah.
God, that's so funny how... I didn't get into those
guys
until
later. It's all connected, man.
And like sometimes you're 12 like, notes.
Like people have linked what I do to Van Morrison. And I never got into Van Morrison until way later. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's just like whatever you're into, people will just get into and find, you know, similarities. But there's definitely a parallel. Like your voices sound very
That's interesting.
Very
wow. That's cool, man. I mean, anyone who's like really making music that's impacting people that I get, if I'm compared to anyone like that, that's awesome.
No, it's great. Let's play some stuff from your studio.
Sure.
So I think, Eddie, we got the tracks on there.
Yeah,
right?
Which one? I got You're Not the One and Cry Me a River.
I think You're Not the One. It's a nice short song. Might be nice for the radio. Yeah.
Here we go, everybody. You're Not the One.
We'll be right back.
Dude, you got a lot of Hendrix influence on that. I can hear some of the voices.
So that song's obviously about shopping for a new car.
It's about shopping for a new car. That's funny. Mate, we have similar senses of humor. I've definitely done songs and said this, you know, this next song, I have a song on the record called Talk to Me Baby, and I've called the song Cactus. I mean, I love random crap like that. Yeah, clearly it's called Talk to Me Baby. Yeah, that's not the one. Yeah, that's, I don't know. Yeah, it's Hendrix, someone I adamantly opposed listening to until I was 23. I'm telling you, it's weird. A lot of the influence, but I loved some of the like old Charlie Christian. He loved Charlie Christian.
Right.
It's weird how those influences come out. I mean, I literally had people giving me Hendrix stuff that I would like throw away when I was 17. I was so jazz. It was weird. I wouldn't do anything but jazz. Anti everything.
I was like that with classical music.
Okay.
Man.
So yeah, so that was my little, that was my journey until I was about 18.
Well,
19.
It all comes from a drum beat from a caveman, right?
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, so. I'm all about caveman.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah,
if you trace it far back enough, it all comes from the same place.
It's all voice.
That's just science, though. But yeah,
oh, I don't know. I'm just making shit up. I have no idea.
That's just science.
Where can people find you? Twitter handles, website. Yeah. Let's get all that.
Thankfully, my parents named me a weird freaking name, Zane. So yeah, pretty much at Zane Carney everywhere: Instagram, Twitter.
Spell it out for our listeners.
Sure. Zane is my first name. Carney, Carney. My social security number is, just kidding. Whoa.
Turn-ons, hey. Freddie.
Turn-ons.
Wow.
So it's basically Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. And I do have a website, which I know is kind of going on the out nowadays because of Twitter and all that stuff. But
Websites have become landing pads for social media. So you just.
That's all it is. My website is, you can see videos from my YouTube channel. You can see Twitter.
That's all it is. It's just a landing pad now.
Exactly. So yeah, so just Zane Carney. And if you type it into Google, whatever, you'll come up with that. And maybe this like Rubik's Cube champion, Zane Carney, who's a
really
dude.
You should just tell people. Oh yeah, I do that too.
I want to check that out.
He does it blindfolded, and he does it in like 13 seconds. It's like
blindfolded.
It's this whole thing, man, where you put blindfold on. I want to reach out to this Zane Carney, and I would challenge someone in the internet to help me find Zane Carney.
The other Zane Carney,
the Rubik's Cube champion, Rubix. Type it in. Zane
He's got to be a special guest at one of your shows. You could be like, I'm gonna play a song and
that's
solve.
Hilarious.
Do it.
That's
Zane Square.
See if he can solve a Rubik's Cube by the time he finishes a song.
That's what I'm saying.
That's great. Well, I think he can. I think he's done in like 30 seconds.
Well,
let's see who
can finish first.
I don't know. I have a Rubik's Cube from when I was 8 that I cannot. It's like still, so beyond.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll watch this later.
I like.
He's phenomenal. Congratulations. Yeah. I'm sorry if
too,
Google me.
Too impressive.
He's probably
talented.
Just like intimidated. He's like, dude, I thought Rubik's Cube was so cool, and now I got this guy that plays great songs.
What are the odds? Such talented Zane Carney's in
there. Dang it, man.
So your Twitter handles, are they all at Zane Carney?
At Zane Carney, yep. I'm very grateful that the Zane from One Direction spells his name differently, because I'm still Googleable because of that. So I want to also give a special shout-out.
You're just making up all kinds of words.
Google, man.
You're just like a word maker.
He's a songwriter.
Actually, two of the guys from One Direction came to see a John Mayer concert. And I played with John, so they were backstage. And Niall was one of them. He's a guitar player. And I thought I made a really funny joke, but apparently it wasn't very funny. It was essentially what I just said. I said, oh, man, I'm so glad your guy spells his name with an I-N at the end. And I'm still Googleable. And it was just blank face, no understanding of what had just happened.
How old are they? Like
I
8?
Like a moron.
9?
That's when you were fired.
Anyway, you can't have a good sense of humor until you're at least in your mid late 20s.
Yeah.
Well, and they're are they English?
Yeah, they seem funny. I don't know. I was confused by that. If Zane would have been there, that would have been fun. I would have liked to shake his hand.
It's been like, oh, you're the other Zane.
Zane. Yeah. So
let's play another track off your records.
Cool. Yeah, I figured it might be nice to play a song I've never played on a radio station, which is a live performance of a cover.
I love that.
Cry Me a River.
Cry Me a River. Yeah. Here it comes.
Thank you.
cry me a river. I cried a river over you. Now you say you're sorry. For being so untrue. Well, you can cry.
Impromptu jam for our listeners. Yes.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Just out of the blue?
Eddie, we need you to play oboe.
Not planned at all. What's oboe sound like?
It's like... And that's actually not oboe. It's like a clarinet, but if a clarinet was shoved into a duck's butthole.
So that's a very good way to describe it. It kind of sounds like a clarinet with a cold.
So I'm gonna chime in with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay, so I'm just going to ruin this song.
Great.
All right. So, Zane, why don't you introduce this to me?
Yeah, well, basically, at my residency at Hotel Cafe, I've done this song once. I might do it again. This is a Beatles cover. It's While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And since we're both musicians here, we thought
might
we
as well.
Fun. Let's do it.
Let's fuck around.
Yeah, baby. I look at you all, see the love there that's sleeping. Still my guitar gently weaves. I look at the floor and I see it needs sweeping. Still my guitar gently weaves. I don't know why nobody told you how to unfold. I don't know how someone controlled you. They bought and sold you. I look at the floor and I see it needs sweeping. Still my guitar gently weeps. With every mistake we must surely be learning, and still my guitar gently weeps.
Very nice.
Applause.
That was fun. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Like a Beatles tune to wake you up.
Hey, yo.
So one more time, every Monday night, Hotel Cafe, let's tell them where to find you.
So yeah, ZaneCarney.com, or just type Zane Carney into Google. Basically, every Monday at 9 p.m. till the end of November, maybe longer, in Los Angeles, California. We'd love to see you there.
Hollywood!
Awesome. Hollywood!
Thanks for being part of the show, Zane.
Thank you very much for having me.
One more time with your Twitter and your website.
Yeah, Twitter at Zane Carney, Instagram at Zane Carney, and ZaneCarney.com. You can find me there. And both my albums, Confluence and Amalgam, are on iTunes and Spotify for sale or downloading.
Cool. Do it. Do it now.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Wake Up Hollywood. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Zane, for being our guest.